Arizona Sports Enterprises and the University of Arizona proudly present the Tommy Lloyd Radio Show. Each week, the Cats head coach talks Wildcat basketball with the fans of Arizona. The Tommy Lloyd Show comes to you from Union Public House at the corner of Campbell and River in Tucson. Now let's talk Wildcat basketball with Coach Lloyd. Here's your host, the voice of the Wildcats, Brian Jeffries.
All right. Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to Union Public House. It's our weekly visit with head coach Tommy Lloyd talking Arizona basketball between now and 6 o'clock tonight. We moved inside. It's a little windy today, and there's a huge event going on in the patio area here, so we're going to be inside tonight. I do want to mention this is normally, as you might have looked at your calendar, the last Tommy Lloyd radio show of the season, but we have one more to go, and that'll be on Sunday, March 16th, which is Selection Sunday, as you probably know. We're going to be here on the air between 2 and 3 leading up to the selection show, which starts at 3 o'clock. So that's coming up on March 16th, and we invite everybody to come out. And I think if the weather's good, which it should be, we'll be outdoors and have plenty of room and have a good time, and we understand that we'll have plenty of special guests that will join us as well for that. Meanwhile, the Wildcats have a lot of business to take care of. Before then, it starts on Saturday when Arizona and Kansas tangle at Fog Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, Kansas. That game will tip at 2:30 Mountain Time. That's the final game of the regular season. And then next Thursday, a week from today, the Wildcats will open Big 12 tournament play in Kansas City at T-Mobile Arena. The time and opponent yet to be decided. Arizona in the top four, of course, so they won't know their opponent until all the games are done on Wednesday, and we won't know exactly what time the Wildcats play on Thursday until everything is squared away this weekend. There are a couple spots that have already been cemented in terms of the Big 12 bracket. Houston is the number one seed. Iowa State is 5. ASU is 15. Colorado is 16. Everything else is up for grabs here over the next couple of days.
But I think we're I think there's a likely scenario. We're obviously 2 or 3.
Yes, you're locked in one of them.
But if Texas Tech wins, we're automatically 3.
There you go. That's
right?
It.
I mean, yeah, so if we can win and Texas Tech can win, we're still 3rd. If we win and Texas Tech loses, we're 2nd.
So that's great news. Don't play until Thursday. That was one of the goals, of course, is to be top four, and where the Wildcats will finish regardless of what happens on Saturday. But we're looking forward to it. I mean, it's you know, these are two of the great programs in college basketball, Arizona and Kansas, and it's just fun to see them play. It seems like we've been waiting a few months. Well, we have waited a few months
I've never waited this long to play a conference opponent. So you basically don't play him till the end of the first week of March. So, we're excited. It's an awesome opportunity. And obviously, you know, there's been a lot of talk, you know, ever since we joined the Big 12 about, you know, us playing Kansas. So, I think we're excited that it's finally here and can't wait to get out to Allen Fieldhouse and see how that feels.
All right. Well, we know it's going to be noisy today or on Saturday. And today, when your team practiced, you added some noise.
Were you spying on us today?
Well, I couldn't help it. It permeated the walls. I mean, you couldn't walk around with Mikhail without knowing.
Just trying to give our guys, you know, just a little. I'm sure it's even going to be louder there than the noise we had today. Right. But just trying to teach your team that you have to communicate over and through the noise. And, you know, when you go on the road, that's a big part of it. So we got to be comfortable when maybe you can't, talk to the person next to you. You know, we still got to be able to communicate.
All right. Well, I'll ask you just a couple things about Kansas, and I'll ask you about one player, and that's their best player in Hunter Dickinson, a guy who is one of the top scorers, rebounders in the Big 12, and obviously a load for any team to deal with. What makes him special?
Well, it feels like we played him about 4 years ago, because we did. I think he was would have been a sophomore at Michigan, and you know, he's just a really big, skilled player. He's got great IQ, great size. He's left-handed, and you know, he's just comfortable, you know, scoring the ball on the block as he is passing the ball, as he is rebounding, as he is, you know, playing in the pick and roll game. So he brings a lot to the table, and he's one of the big-time vets in college basketball today.
All right. What about Kansas? What else outside of Dickinson has made them a good team this year and one of the better teams for years?
Well, I mean, first off, you got to start with Coach Self. He's one of the best to ever do it, and he's got a great staff, and those guys are guys that have been with him for a long time. So just the continuity there is just really impressive. Obviously, the program's got an amazing history and legacy, And so there's a lot of pride when you play Kansas. They're playing for something more than themselves. You know, they're playing to represent a history and a legacy that's really special. And then on top of that, you sprinkle in some talented players, and it's quite a formula. So you know, they got a point guard, DeJuan Wagner, who's DeJuan. You're the name guy. I know. I'm horrible with names.
The game's not until Saturday, so it's DeJuan Harris.
DeJuan Harris. Now, listen, I did play against DeJuan Harris 5 years ago. He was a freshman, and we played them when I was at Gonzaga to open the season during that crazy COVID year down in Florida. So, I mean, he's a really experienced player, been around forever. He's got a great pulse of the game. You know, they got a bunch of talented wing transfers, you know, that have maybe been a little bit streaky, but there's no doubt they're talented. And they got a great athlete at the four in K.J. Adams who, if you make a mistake, he's going to put his eyes on the rim and push the ball through the hoop. So, just a really talented group that, you know, probably had a little bit of an inconsistent season, but the one thing I know about Coach Shelf is he understands there's a second season about to happen, and I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to take advantage of that.
All right, and I don't think Coach Shelf would probably agree with me when I say this, but I thought their game at Houston was one of their better games. They lost the game, but yet they took Houston down to the wire and played.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they can play with anybody. Obviously, they beat Duke earlier in the year. There's no doubt. There's no doubt they can play with anybody on any given night, and they can beat anybody. If they play good, they're a tough out. So, you know, we definitely have our hands full.
All right. How about your team right now? You got the win over Arizona State. Yeah. That was big. Plenty of points scored.
Yeah, wow.
Very entertaining. There's no doubt about that.
It was a quasi-NBA All-Star game. Both teams got to 100, which, obviously is a rare thing in college basketball today. Defensively, you know, we kind of lost our way a little bit, but luckily our offense pulled us through. And sometimes over the course of the season, you need to do that. And, you know, we've had a couple of defensive outings, you know, lately that we're probably not too happy about. And, you know, we're trying to peel back the layers and figure out, you know, what's happening and then what we can do to fix it. So, you know, our staff's on it, and hopefully we'll be able to tighten that up, you know, in this last game at Kansas and then heading into the Big 12 tournament.
All right, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but there's that old saying in basketball that, you know, if you're going to win, you got to make shots at some point. And so your team was making shots against Arizona State. Was there anything specific you saw there?
Well, running good offense can be a lot of things. You know, it could be getting lanes, it could be getting free throws. And one of the things, you know, obviously it's gaining more and more emphasis in the game as the years go by is just the three-point shot. And, you got to be able to defend the three-point shot, and then you got to be able to make some threes. And a lot of these teams are basically – playing this math game now where, you know, how many threes can they get up and basing, you know, maybe sacrificing a little bit of overall shooting percentage for a little bit of, you know, point value. And so making shots makes a huge difference. And, you know, we've had some talks with our team what our priority list is. And making shots, trust me, is not at the top of our priority list. But we also know it's important, and it's a separator and a differentiator for us. So, hopefully our guys will settle in and throw in a few extra shots, down the stretch of the season. And if we do that, I think we're going to be really tough to beat.
I don't have a study to back this up, but it seems like teams that rely too much on the three-point shot normally don't play very deep into March, unless they just get really hot.
You're 100% right. And, I think so much of the influence of the college game, you know, or just maybe let's just say the media knowledge, you know, about the college game comes down from the NBA. And obviously there's some great things that come down from the NBA. But when you're talking the NBA, these teams that are shooting all these threes and just gone to this heavy analytic model, they also have the best players in the world and the best shooters in the world. And so if you're trying a system where you don't, that relies on the best shooters in the world, and you don't have the best shooters, it could really backfire on you. And so, you know, I think the winning formula in March is to be balanced. That gives your team, you know, balanced at both ends of the floor, balanced in your offense, you know, where you value paint, you value free throws, and you value threes. And just so you're not too reliant on one thing. And so that's the formula we've tended to go to. I mean, I think that was the formula Purdue did last year. That's the formula UConn did last year. That's the formula Kansas has used in the past when they've won national championships. So, to me, I think that gives your team the greatest margin for error for being successful.
All right. Look forward to the Wildcats and the Jayhawks Saturday. And then, of course, Big 12 tournament and NCAA. We're with head coach Tommy Lloyd here at Union Public House. More coming up. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, we roll on at Union Public House. Great to have you along here on a Thursday night. This will be our last Thursday show of the season. Again, we're going to be back here on a Sunday, March 16th, just prior to the selection show, and find out where the Wildcats are headed and who they will play in NCAA first-round play. But a lot to happen before that. A Big 12 championship, which starts on Tuesday. There will be games Tuesday and Wednesday in Kansas City. Arizona will play on Thursday, hopefully Friday, and Saturday is the championship game before the NCAA tournament starts the next week. Tommy, you mentioned there during the last segment about the value of free throws, and your team's done a very good job getting to the line and making free throws. And I probably asked you this before, but how do you go about that? How do you ensure or teach your team to get fouled and get to the line?
Well, you play with force, and you play in attack mode, and you know, it's something we've always valued. And you know, the irony of this team is I think it's the best free throw shooting team we've had by far.
Yes.
You know, and probably the lowest three-point shooting team we've had, you know. So yeah. It's just that's such an interesting little bit of a conundrum or anomaly, you know. Shooting free throws are huge value. And, you know, you look at that Arizona State game, and obviously they're thin on numbers. They had a few guys out, and they were limited inside. But eventually you just keep penning fouls on those big guys and making it hard on them. Eventually something has to give, and then they're out of the game, and you know, it's tough to win if you don't have any bigs on the floor. So you know, it's more than just, you know, making the free throw. It's the foul pressure you put on the opponent, and you know, eventually forces them to make decisions, maybe play lineups they don't want to play.
Everybody wants to be healthy this time of the year. There is not a team in college basketball that is totally healthy. There's bumps and bruises and bangs that happens to every team throughout the season. You lost Trey Townsend for a couple ball games there, concussion protocol, he's back. I mean, everybody right now, when they run out onto the floor, you've got, with the exception of Mo Crevis, you've got a full roster.
Hey, listen, J-Rock and Chris Rounds are – Those dudes are first class, and they do an amazing job. You know, they've been here for a minute, and they know how it gets done, and they've really helped me, you know, with this program. And you know, there's a reason when I came in and got to know them a little bit that you know, figured out that they were the right guys for the job. So you know, I'm really thankful for those guys, and you know, they communicate great with me. And you know, if a guy needs a break or a guy needs to be out or a guy needs to be in, you know, they're always letting me know. And you know, what do they always say? The best ability is availability. And so you know, you need your players to be available to play if you're going to be successful, and they've done a great job with that.
All right, so I know it's a different setting, it's a different conference, but you fared very well at the Pac-12 tournament that was held up in Las Vegas.
Still not happy about last year.
Well, I'm sorry. I wasn't going to mention it, but
yeah, well,
I know.
Trust me, I haven't forgot.
Okay. Coaches never do, right?
No, never forget. You never do.
Okay, so, but is there anything going into these tournaments like this, and it's different from the midseason, 3 games in 3 days, because now, you mentioned it last week, you're one and done. Yeah. And there's a lot more to it. But is there anything that you and your staff go through? You play them one game at a time, but if there's any planning about, okay, this is what we need to do for 3 days.
You might start some initial conversations on, you know, hey, is there anything we need to add or anything we need to refine heading into the conference tournament? And, you know, at the end of the day, the task at hand is the priority, which is the next game. So you don't want to think too hard at it. You don't want to think, okay, well, If somehow we play Houston in the championship game, we should, yeah. You know, I mean, you're probably going to lose in the first or second game. So, you know, but maybe you want to make sure that you're sound, you have a sound approach, and there's some versatility and preparation to play against any style of basketball on a short prep. So, I think this time of year we've been through a lot of scouting, you know, a lot of different opponents. So I think we'll be pretty adaptable.
All right, so you've had the 8-man rotation. Now the last couple of ball games, Conrad Martinez has gotten some extra minutes. And, again, does that give you, I guess, the comfort going into – well, we'll start with Saturday. I mean, I'm not skipping over that ball game, but he seems to have earned himself a little spot.
Yeah, I mean, he never hadn't earned it. You know, just, you know, I had to make a tough choice. And I've communicated that with him, and he's first class. So, you know, I love – that when we put him in those situations that he rises to the occasion, and throw him out there at Iowa State when not too many things were going well, and he gets on the court and things started to turn around a little bit. You know, it's probably no accident. So I want to keep, giving him opportunities if they're available to him. And I think it helps with team morale. I think when the guys go out there and see him play well, it gets everybody excited and juiced up a little bit. So, we'll see. We'll see if there's some opportunities for him down the stretch here.
All right, so Kansas is the number one shot-blocking team in the Big 12 right now. And you face some other excellent shot blockers this year. But Kansas seems to have more than one guy that has that capability. What do you see anything there on film?
Obviously KJ Adams is a great athlete. The backup five-man, the freshman, I think he's number 40.
Yeah, that's Badunga.
Yeah, Badunga. Yeah. I mean, I saw him play in high school, and he's a tremendous athlete, and he got really good hands, so he can impact a lot of shots around the rim. And obviously Hunter Dickinson is a big man. So, he's around the rim. He probably can block shots without even jumping. I think that. And you play against those guys. You have to be smart. You have to be smart in how you attack them. But you also got to attack. You don't want it to be just tentative and afraid to go in the paint because they're in there.
Could we relate some of that again to the game you just played against Arizona State where you guys did attack? Drew fouls on their
pickups. Yeah, a little bit for sure. A little bit for sure. We'll see if the similar plan works against these guys or if maybe their bigs are a little bit more disciplined or maybe playing on the road, you just don't get some of those calls. So, I don't know if we're going to be able to have the game plan, well, hey, let's go inside every time till we foul their bigs out type of game plan. I don't know if that one's going to work on Saturday. But, we'll get a feel for the game and how it's going, and we'll adjust accordingly.
All right, Cats and the Jayhawks Saturday. Union Public House tonight with head coach Tommy Lloyd. More coming up. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. Thursday night, talking Wildcat basketball, Arizona, Kansas, coming up from Fog Allen Fieldhouse on Saturday. 15,300 will be on hand. Their sellout streak is approaching, 400 games somewhere in that era. And it's like Arizona and UCLA and North Carolina, Kentucky, Indiana. It's just great to have the two great programs going at it here for the first time this season. We do have some special guests here, Coach, because yes. You were talking about Justin Kukoski and Chris Rounds, and we have folks here that are part of the training room staff.
We love it. Let's go.
That keep all the athletes on campus healthy, not just your team. So
yeah, I love it. No. I don't know if we've got the training many trainers here in this group. I don't know if the trainers are somewhere hiding around here.
I know they're hiding somewhere. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, but no. We love it. We love the people we work with. That's one of the things that makes the place and the community so special.
Okay, so Kansas coming up on Saturday. Sorry, I just realized that I can't read my own writing. Kansas coming up on Saturday. Now, Bill Self is, like a lot of programs, it's nothing new. He's gone to the portal this year. Yep. They've got, I think I counted, 7 players on that roster that have scored over 1,000 points in their college careers. Not all at Kansas, because like a lot of schools, they go to the portal and bring in guys with experience. What have you seen in terms of them fitting into what Bill Self's style is?
Yeah, I think they've been a little bit inconsistent, and I don't think I'm breaking any news there, and I'm sure Coach has had some frustrations with them. But I also know that they have a high ceiling when things click together, so... sometimes taking these transfers, it's obviously it can be a great thing, but there's also sometimes a transition period. And then, and sometimes you try something and then you make a small adjustment or two and maybe it's not quite going perfect for a guy and he has to settle into a little different role than he's ever played before. It just takes, there's feelings and it takes a little bit while for guys to accept that role and excel in that type of role. So, it's challenging. It's challenging for a coaching staff to put a roster together. It's challenging to manage your roster over the course of a season. These aren't easy things, back in the day, I think there was maybe a lot more certainty. Kids could pretty much understand if I'm a freshman and I didn't play much, I have more of a chance as a sophomore. And if I'm starting by my junior year, man, we've really made it. And, if it is a transfer, most of the time that transfer was with your program the year before practicing every day, redshirting. Okay. I just think this there's so much rapid change that, as a coach, this is the rules of engagement now. So you have to adjust to it. But I don't think it's easy for anybody.
Yeah. Well, what are the changes now, if any, in terms of conversations with new players, be it a freshman, JC transfer, portal transfer, et cetera. I mean, do you even approach them about, let's say they're coming in as a sophomore or a junior, that, you know, we hope to have you here for 2 or 3 years. Does that – those
– I mean, for sure. I mean, I think you always go in with those intentions. Okay. I mean, because you have to – every time you're, you know, bringing a player into your program, you need to have good intentions and they need to be authentic.
Right.
I think that's really important. And then, you know, sometimes it doesn't always work out. You know, I think you just have to be honest with them and you know, hey, you know, we want you. This is maybe what we anticipate your role being and in some of the areas you need to get better and some of your strengths that I think we can apply right now. But it's not going to be easy. And if it's not easy, we're still going to hang with you. And, you know, we don't quit on people. And, you know, one of my mottos has always been, you never quit on a kid until he quits on you. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, your job is to keep showing up every single day if they're showing up and helping them through it. Because, you know, it's amazing how many times through this struggle, these kids kind of figure it out over time. Mm-hmm. So you know, time's a huge, you know, variable in this equation that people have to still understand exists, even if the timelines have gotten shortened and patience has grown thin.
All right, we had Trey Townsend here for an earlier show, and speaking of a portal guy who had started, of course, his career before he came here, started when the season began here, and then is now coming off the bench. And maybe if people heard him and got to know him a little better, you understand why he was – well, that was, I'm not going to say easy for him, but he was – He went ahead and said, okay, I'm attacking this. This is what I need to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and sometimes you have to explain to a player, you know, hey, I'm going to try something. This isn't necessarily a demotion. Mm-hmm. I just need to try something to shake things up a bit or see, you know, if we can gain something by doing this. And then you tell them, you know, if you're going to be a professional basketball player, you want to have a long career where it's in the NBA or Europe, you're going to have to be able to play a number of different roles. Not too many guys go, you know, from, you know, high school superstar to college superstar to NBA superstar. There's some growth in there, and there's some not playing. There's some not starting. And, you know, I mean, hey, you know, Ben Mathurin is a heck of a player. He started some early in his NBA career. He's coming off the bench now. And it's not necessarily demotion. It's just there's a lot of other good players, and sometimes, you know, you have to be adaptable. And so the more comfortable you can get, you know, contributing in different roles is super important for having the best professional career you can.
All right, look forward to the Cats and the Jayhawks Saturday in Lawrence, Kansas. Back with head coach Tommy Lloyd in a moment. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, we roll on from Union Public House. Wildcats and the Jayhawks coming up Saturday afternoon in Lawrence. That game will tip at 2:30. Arizona time, and then 3:30 if you're going to be back in the Midwest, by the way. And also a quick reminder, time change is quickly approaching here, at least for the rest of the country. And so keep that in mind when we get to the Big 12 tournament and beyond in terms of game times being a little bit different here than there. We'll talk about that as we move on ahead. Coach, before we get back to basketball for a moment, I wanted to thank two gentlemen in the audience here today, because we have a brand new setup.
It's beautiful.
Here, which is very nice. Werner and Ralph are right back here.
Thank you, guys.
And they designed and built this for us, and thank you guys very much. It's
appreciate
it looks
you.
Tremendous. Yeah. And, yeah, they'd like you to autograph the
top of the
table.
I think we might need a better pen on than that one.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I'll get a thick Sharpie on that one,
okay.
Werner. Appreciate right. you. You know, yeah. Werner almost tackled me at the game. Coming
almost
out of halftime,
me.
He almost tackled me, and security had to pull him back. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad, Werner, we're going to be able to let you back into the building.
Yeah,
that's what's key. All right. Hey, as Jason Gardner mentioned his game in January of 2003 at Allen Fieldhouse, as they brought that up to you.
Yeah, I think I've heard those stories.
Yeah. I figure. Oh, I'm surprised. You know, I'm surprised he's not
here
tonight.
We'll have Jay Gard tell the team before we play.
Okay. But it was one of my favorite games. Two outstanding teams as always. And I know at halftime it was fairly close. And then Jason and Salim Stoudemire took over the game in the second half.
And I guess Salim couldn't miss a shot, right?
He couldn't miss a shot. Finished with 32 and Jason had 23. And it was just one of the great wins. Of many great wins for the program. So we're
That's
looking
awesome.
Forward to a repeat performance. From
Yeah, but hey, I'd take it.
Okay. All right. So, you know, here we go into the stretch drive of the season. I asked you about playing 3 games in 3 days, but just about how much rest, you know, you're, you you'll see Kansas for the first time. Whoever you play next week, you've seen before. And if you play three games in 3 days, there isn't a whole lot of time for rest. But how much do you take into account now trying to give the guys a little extra time off their feet?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're probably shortening practices a little bit this time of year and, you know, maybe, you know, cutting out some of your fundamental stuff. You know, not that they're not important, but you just only have so much time. So you kind of have to get right to, you know, the scouting and the five-on-five stuff. So, you know, today we probably practice. We practiced today, you know. I mean, we're kind of analyzing, you know, what we're going to do. You know, we took yesterday off. And then, you know, were we going to go light today and harder tomorrow? But, you know, we have an early travel day tomorrow. So we decided to kind of have our harder practice today. And tomorrow will probably be, you know, we'll get to it, but it'll probably be short and sweet. You know, probably try to be, you know, definitely under an hour on the court and, you know, a little bit of film work. And then after that, you know, we'll come back. We'll kind of assess where we're at and, you know, whether we take Sunday and Monday off, because I think we'll probably be traveling on Tuesday. I don't know what time it is yet, but usually I like to get to the conference tournament, some of those things, like a day earlier, just to kind of get there in the evening and kind of unwind and kind of have a full day to kind of settle in. Because, you know, I honestly don't know what time even the options are we could play on Thursday. So I haven't
Nobody does those. Right now. I can give you some, but it would be a wild guess.
Yeah,
right now,
I don't. So. Do they fluctuate or are they set based on seeds?
All the times are set. Oh, based on seeds, yes. Yeah. So you could play 11:30 in the morning. You could play 8:30 at night, for example.
Really?
Yeah. And then there's two games in between that. So,
so.
I can tell you this. The only team right now that is locked in on that day is Houston.
Yeah.
So they will play the – I want to get it right here. It's 2 o'clock in Kansas City will be their first game.
Okay.
You would either play as a 2 or 3 seed. You would either play at 6 o'clock at night or 8:30 at night. It's the 4 seed that plays earlier at the 11:30.
So we are going to be the evening game.
Evening, either 6 or 8:30.
Okay.
If you're a 2 or 3 seed, yes.
I'm learning things. You always teach me. Thank you.
I'm trying to help out best I can. Okay, Carter Bryant, the youngest guy in your rotation, this will be his first foray going, well, first of all, another road game, but going into postseason play. It's amazing to watch young guys grow up and watch the confidence that they play with. Mechanically, what has Carter learned most this season?
Well, you know, he's learned a lot, and he's learned a lot because he's got a lot of, you know, opportunities and experiences, and, you know, he's played multiple positions, the 4 and the 3 for us. You know, I've really seen his techniques start to kick in on his shot preparation, you know, even his ball handling and stuff's picked up a little bit. And defensively, you know, he's learned a lot of schemes. And, you know, it's been a big learning year for Carter. And, you know, I think when you guys watch him play, you can all see sometimes you feel like you can see his wheels turning, you know. And I just think with a little bit more experience, you know, he's about to grow exponentially. There's a huge jump inside of him, and it's not far off. He just needs to kind of keep hanging with it, keep doing the things he's doing, and then one day we're all going to look up and be like, wow, look what Carter Bryant turned into, and that's really exciting.
Do you encourage guys, returning players for next year, certain programs, things they can do during the off season, not just in terms of working them out, but any competitive things you'd like to see them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll have a comprehensive plan for everybody in the off season. You know, the first thing we have to do is you have to finish off this season. Yeah. Then you got to figure out who's going to be on the team next season. You know, there's transfers, there's the NBA draft, just a lot of variables to get thrown into it. So it's kind of hard to get out ahead of that stuff too early. You know, but, hey, I mean, like for example, Big Mo and I are starting those conversations, and they've been ongoing for a couple of weeks. And actually today we actually got on the court together a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, you know, his process can start a little earlier because we know he's probably done for – he's obviously done for the year. So.
Okay. All right, well, we've got a special guest coming up tonight.
Nice.
And he shares your last name.
Yes.
So has he been a better son or better basketball player?
Oh, wow.
It's a loaded question,
that is
I realize.
A loaded question.
So you better answer it correctly here.
He's done great at both.
Okay. Oh, there you go. All right.
He's done great at both. It's been a lot of fun having him and Hallie around and, you know, with Luca, you know, in the new part of the family. So, you know, it's been a blast. But, you know, day to day, it's business as usual. You know, I'm focused on work and doing the team, and Liam's, you know, been had a lot of changes in his life. He's focused on those and focused on, you know, helping our guys, you know, prep and get ready for games. And, you know, and so, you know, it's been a ton of fun having him.
All right, we'll have him up here next. Thanks, Coach. Best of luck.
Thank you.
All right, Head Coach Tommy Lloyd here at Union Public House. We'll return in a moment. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, back here at Union Public House. Great to have everybody along as we talk Wildcat basketball up until the top of the hour tonight. Then Arizona will face Kansas Saturday in Lawrence before the Big 12 tournament next week in Kansas City. Pleased to be joined by Liam Lloyd, who just spent his grad year in an Arizona uniform. And it was great that he's been a tremendous contributor. He's played a lot of college basketball, over 100 games in his college career, and wrapping it up now in the next few weeks. And Liam, first of all, when was the first time in your life that you realized you had a cool dad who coached basketball?
I mean, growing up, you don't really realize that, like, your dad does what he does on the type of level he did it on. And I mean, I just kind of live in the moment and probably made his life a lot harder than I probably should have. And, yeah, it was just, I mean, yeah. I didn't really realize it.
You grew up in Spokane, of course. Your dad was assistant at Gonzaga, so that's kind of your introduction to all of this. Do you remember any of the early games you went to at the Kennel?
Growing up, every single game I was behind the bench, so I was in every huddle, I was at every practice. So I mean, as a kid, I probably didn't realize how blessed and fortunate I was, but I mean, looking back on it, I was very blessed and fortunate.
Did the basketball bug start with you that early, or were you an all sport kind of guy? Or
I was an all sport guy growing up, but then I mean, I always loved basketball, and basketball was always like my cornerstone when it came to sports. Like, I always wanted to play basketball. I always had a ball in my hand.
Okay.
And I think my dad kind of subconsciously drilled it into my mind as well when I was little, like that guy's age over there.
All right. Yeah. So you were around a very good program. It's been one of the tops in the country for a long time. What did that, you know, being around that program, kind of like this one, where success is part of everything you do every day, how did that influence you? And again, when did you kind of realize that, hey, this is special here?
I mean, growing up, I mean, I had a lot of great role models. And, I mean, I could think of people like Kevin Pangos, mm-hmm. Gary Bell Jr., a whole bunch of guys that you guys probably know because you guys probably played against them as well. And just learning from them and being able to take a few things from each guy and just having them around as great mentors, I mean, helped me along my career and helped me learn a lot.
Sure. Okay, so let's fast forward now. It's time to decide where you're going to go to college. Mm-hmm. And Grand Canyon first, right?
Yep.
So tell us about that decision.
Growing up, I never wanted to play for my dad. I never wanted anything to do with it. So going into college, it was just going to be my decision only. And Grand Canyon kind of came to the spot just because of the way that their student section is and their culture when it comes to all about basketball. It kind of reminded me of Gonzaga a little bit. So that's why I chose Grand Canyon. And, yeah.
All right, so you played there a while. You went to NAU, and then you come back here to Tucson to play for your dad.
Yeah, yep.
Kind of the whole, you know, the circle,
yeah, circle,
and
yep.
It's back here again. And so how special has it been this season?
It's been super special just to kind of take a different role and just learn from all the great coaching minds that my dad has around him and obviously my dad. And it's just been awesome. Just kind of take a back seat and just kind of be a selfless person that just tries to help everyone and aspects that as a player I probably struggled with, I could help them out with. So it's been pretty nice.
All right. So, I mean, you play a lot of basketball before you arrived here. Was there something new you learned from your dad this season that maybe you hadn't before?
Maybe how much, like, the little things matter. Like, stuff as a player you don't really think about as much, like jump stopping and just, like, little fundamentals that you kind of lose it throughout the process, lose it throughout time, like, when you're playing. And just little stuff like that, like stuff he constantly reminds the guys about. I think that's something that I've probably learned the most about him.
You know, chemistry is a word that I think is thrown around maybe a bit too loosely when you talk about teams. But being around these guys, and you know better than I, this has been a very together group from the beginning.
For
it doesn't
sure.
mean you win every game just yeah. because you have great chemistry. Mm-hmm. But it's a team that they're looking out for each other. How mm-hmm. soon did you notice that?
I mean, the first moment I was here, I mean, it's a brotherhood, right? You step on campus and I mean, all the guys love each other. I mean, you could tell just no one fights. No one hates each other. And that's something that culture goes a long way. And if you have a strong culture and a strong foundation, yeah, I mean, your team probably is going to go far places.
Yeah. So you play a valuable role. Will, one of the other seniors. Well, I'm not going to mention them all. We had six players on senior day. Mm-hmm. So it was great. But for those that don't know, take us through the role you and the other guys play every day and getting the first eight ready to go.
Yeah, so before practice we have scout, which scouts kind of, we walk through the other team's plays, and one of the assistant coaches helps us, like Ken, Coach Murph, or whoever scout it is, they kind of walk us through the plays, and we learn the plays, we watch the plays, we go into film, we see him again with the team, mm-hmm. and then we get out on the practice floor and we walk through them, and we kind of just kind of help the players remind them of tendencies and who the guys are, and I mean, we just kind of embrace the role of who we are as a player, like on the scout, and so we can help the guys the best of their ability.
Is there any truth to the rumor that Grant Whiteman's coming back for a ninth year?
Yeah, no, yeah, he's been here forever. They might as well retire his jersey at this point.
Oh, yeah. There's an idea. I don't know if that's happened before. That might be good. All right, so, you know, is basketball going to end here for you, or do you hope to do something at least on the court?
Yeah, I mean, after this year, I'm going to take a step back and kind of learn from all the coaches around me, and I'm going to probably be a grad assistant next year for my dad, and then go from there and just kind of see where the journey takes
me. So it's in your blood, and you'd like to make it a career?
Yep. No, I'd love to make it a career. It's all I know, and it's what I love.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have a couple more minutes here with Liam Lloyd. When we come back from a break, so hang on. We'll return in a moment. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises.
Okay, thank you.
All right, welcome back to Union Public House. A couple more minutes here with U of A graduate. How many years? 5 years?
It's my fifth year, yep.
Fifth year grad student, Liam Lloyd, as the Wildcats get set for their trip to Kansas on Saturday. So let's talk about a couple of team things, Liam. Okay. Keys to the game, winning in Kansas on Saturday.
Yeah, we just got to be a more physical team. It's going to come down to who can get more rebounds and who can get the loose balls. Like all those loose balls, all those 50-50 balls, it's going to come down to that. And obviously we got to make some shots. It's a hard place to play, so we'll have to make some shots down the stretch, and hopefully we'll get it done.
All right, so Arizona has played very well on the road in conference play this year. I think only maybe three teams have winning road records in conference play, which is a great testament to the guys and what all you've been able to do. But is there something in that formula of success that you've seen that you can carry on to Saturday?
I think just kind of make every game a home game. Like, I mean, the crowd's a crowd, right? You can't let it affect the game, and just kind of bring our energy as a group and hit first. And, yeah, that's all we can do. That's what we can do on the road.
Does the noise really, once the game goes, the ball's tipped underway, does the noise affect players at all when you're on a visiting floor?
I mean, it's an atmosphere, right? So when you have like thousands, tens of thousands of people screaming at you, you probably feel it a little bit. But when you're out there, it's like white noise. So I think if you're just together with your group, you don't even notice.
Would you rather play in front of 15,000 people or 1,500?
Oh, 15,000 every single time. Yeah,
there's just something.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I'm a type of person that I love the atmosphere. I love the environment. I live for that type of stuff.
Okay. You and your fiance welcomed a new addition to your family here.
Yep,
your son's with us here tonight. I was going to have him come up on the air tonight and maybe give us his assessment, but he's eating right now, so
let him
do that. But how special has that been for you two?
It's been super special for us. I mean, being able to raise him here in Tucson and just having the family support, and her family comes down every once in a while, and it's just nice to have a family around us.
So when will he get his first basketball?
I mean, he loves his basketball right now. I think he has one over there at the table, and I mean, he always has it with him. And I mean, he loves playing pass.
So
it's pretty fun.
Okay, so you're going to get him started early.
Okay. We'll see. Well, yeah.
At what point then do you start moving up in size, basketball size, and you don't know yet?
He'll have the little ball for a while.
All right. Okay, just a couple more things before going, just about the season ahead here. So you got a game at Kansas, huge game on Saturday, and then you go on to the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City next week. Three games in 3 days. You guys did it early. It's nothing new. We did it earlier this season down in the Bahamas. It happens in conference tournaments all over the country. I mean, as a player, is there a different way you approach a tournament like that?
I mean, you have to approach it with elite focus, and you have to, I mean, a lot of it, you got to pay attention to game plans and how you're going to execute, because, I mean, the team that prepares better obviously is probably going to win. And then you have to approach it with, I mean, we're going to be the tougher team every night. That's how you approach it.
All right. Film study, I know all you guys go through it. Mm-hmm. How much film, how much scouting report? I mean, is there a 50-50 mix there, or does one help you more than the other?
I mean, there's a mix. I mean, you have to have a healthy mix of everything. So, I mean, I would just say there's a mix of film and personnel, like, tendency-wise. So, You have to have that mix just so you kind of have a well-known about that player.
All right, so we're going to postseason play after Saturday. Does the Uno game go to postseason as well?
Yeah, Uno's been fun. We've been playing a lot of pool as well, so it's been pretty cool. We just kind of switch it up, but Uno's always a go-to.
Are you better pool or better Uno?
I'm better at Uno for sure. I'm a very average pool player.
Okay. So who is who's leading the standings right now in Uno? I haven't.
In Uno, my guess is it's C-Love. C-Love plays Uno every single time. I look at his phone, he's playing Uno. I don't even know who he's playing against.
Well, see, this is I'll show my age here. I didn't realize until I was with you guys on the bus that you can play Uno on your phone.
Of course,
I still got the card game at home, you know, carrying that around. But for those who don't know, the team plays it on a regular basis. I know, in particular on road trips, and it's kind of fun because it's great competition.
No, it is,
and you can tell how much everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Liam, it's been great having you along.
No, I appreciate it.
Congratulations, and we look forward to seeing you a lot in the future. Now, as you head off into your coaching career.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, Liam Lloyd, our guest. Back to wrap it up in a moment. This is Wildcat Basketball from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, this is our last Thursday show of the season. I want to thank Grant Kruger and the entire staff here at Union Public House for their tremendous hospitality through football and basketball season. We will be back one more time on Sunday, March 16th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That is Selection Sunday, so we'll be here for the radio show from 2 to 3, lead you right into the Selection Show at 3 o'clock. You can come down and enjoy it all here in one place. That's coming up on Saturday, March 16th. Upcoming schedule for the Wildcats, Saturday they play at Kansas. That game will tip at 2:30 Mountain Time. We'll be on there at 2 o'clock on the radio, and then it's on to the Big 12 tournament next week in Kansas City. And again, if the Wildcats, depending on where they finish in the standings, and that will be decided this weekend, looks like the night session at either 4 or 6:30 Arizona time or 6 or 8:30 back in the Midwest. So if you're going to be in Kansas City, we hope to see you there. All right, here is the rest of the schedule for Saturday, final games of the regular season. Iowa State at Kansas State, Cincinnati at Oklahoma State, TCU will visit Colorado, UCF will be at West Virginia, Houston at Baylor, Texas Tech at ASU, Utah at BYU, and again the three spots, seeding that's been set so far. Houston the one seed at the Big 12 tournament, Iowa State 5, ASU 15, Colorado 16. Everything else will be decided on Saturday. Thanks as always for joining us here at Union Public House, and remember, bear down.
You've been listening to the Tommy Lloyd Radio Show. Join us every week for the latest on Wildcat basketball. The Tommy Lloyd Radio Show is a production of Arizona Sports Enterprises. Listen to the Wildcats throughout the season on this station of the Arizona Radio Network.